Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to NSF Radio, where we're always the talk fits our heart and it's always popping. And we keep it real 100%. We flip the minds and make you think just a little bit different about certain subjects that we don't really look at, but we're trying to make sure the aspect is there and a reflection and a greater understanding of how it affects our communities, our world, and ourselves as we may go through these situations or these aspects. And make sure that we try to get on the same page with you, the people, you know. And, yes, we work from a father's dynamic, but it affects the domino effect of the systematic family on a broad scale. My name is Brother Albert, and in the background is my brother. Brother Coopy is in the house, you know. We always going to be here. All right, so we're just going to sit here and start going into the program today. Today we are talking about a three-part series, which is fatherhood and homelessness, which has become a rampant subject across the nation. National statistics are pointing that fatherhood, men with children, are at a higher rate. Homelessness due to a system that might seem broken or a system that might seem complex and or biased on some level. So it's our job to get into that aspect and just try to, we're going to go into the mental aspect today, and we're also going to go revisit what we talked about previously last week, okay? So we're going to get into it, all right? So, but first I want to give a shout-out to my brother, Brother Coopy. Are you in the house, my brother?
Of course, always in the house. Appreciate the opportunity once again, and I'm excited. Let's get into it.
All right, let's get into it. Okay, so, all right, here's where we left off. Last week we were talking about part one with addiction, okay? We talked about the drug addiction, the mentality effects of drug addiction, why a lot of men that might be fathers or are homeless, and what it has, the effect it has on them. And, you know, I work my statistics and my research off of actual people, okay? And I also call local shelters, ask them questions. And they can answer the question. They can. If you do not, cool. But we try to find all the information we can gather, you know, and try to make sure that when we present this information to you that we're working off of actual facts. Okay, so this is what we found out. Most of the addiction that occurs is because a mental imbalance, okay? That mental imbalance is I call a fail-safe event. And a fail-safe event is like, it's like you try to put things in place so that you can be successful, but they keep on not working, and they keep putting you more and more in a downward spiral effect where your mental body says, I can't handle this, I give up. And your mind gives up. So you find a crutch in alcoholism, drugs, whether it's prostitution or sexual innuendo kind of thing, or some other vice. And we was talking about the vices that occur during that, which is those addictions. Okay? Now we get into that part and we look at that, we'll see the whole mentality of that individual that is addicted becoming more and more not about the main source of the addiction or the purpose of that using that vice. It becomes the vice is now controlling the person, and it becomes a subject of a new form where you're not just you having a physical vice on it, but you are having a new way of living. Now that new way of living is this. Instead of you using that vice because you lost your children, or a death of your children, or you're not allowed to see your children, or you can't feel like the man that you need to be or should be, you're now at the point where you're not using the vice for that subject, but you're the vice is actually controlling you, and now the vice is the subject. Not what it originally was used for or the purpose it was put on, but now the vice is controlling you. Instead of you trying to control the vice or using it to subjugate your inability as a father, so now you're dealing with that kind of subject. You know what I mean? Which is something that, you know, you just got to constantly always think. And it's just like you don't know why and how far around down the rabbit hole you have gone. And now that you're down that rabbit hole, it's so dark, you can't see your way out. If we went to give you an example, a father that I met, and we'll just say his name is Jim. Jim, if you look at him first, you think he's just an alcoholic and a drug user. He smokes cocaine and sniffs cocaine and crack, and he does all of that. He does weed, and he does that on a consistent basis. And when it comes to money, he always begging his mother for money. And the reason he begging his mother for money because he doesn't have a job, and he doesn't have a job because of other issues that has come up. He is a father of three beautiful children. And because those three beautiful children are grown, you know, and they're starting to get grown, or one's still a teenager, but he has no connection with the children. And the original source of that information was because the mother, you know, was not there, and he tried to be there. And he lost his job. He lost his relationship. Went down the hole, and it destroyed his mental ability to handle the situation. And we always say on the show, cause and what? Effect. All right? Cause and effect. And when we look at the cause, it can devastate the person. And the effect becomes, well, I need advice to try to help me handle this, and I'm going to use this advice, which is alcohol and drugs. So now you're into that aspect, and you go into that aspect, and you find out, well, I got to deal with this. But before I keep going any further, we're going to go into a little bit of a commercial break.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
Okay. We're back just a little bit, just to get into a little bit something. I want everybody to know, we have to constantly try our best to try to support the fathers out here and try to let them know that there's other avenues, there's other resources. And a lot of times they don't know about the resources, or they give up to even use the resource. You know what I mean? So, that's what we talked about last week. And we're going to get into the next part, which is part two. And we'll walk this right into part three next week. And why don't you go in it? So, Brother Kofi, what do you think about part one?
It's in dealing with being homeless and everything altogether, it's good. First of all, it's good for the series to come about. A lot of us don't even think about homelessness. We don't think about how it affects fathers. We don't think about, a lot of times the system is set up and geared towards even homelessness is something that's used to further rip apart families. Think about how, you've dealt with many fathers, and so have I, and we know. Even I myself, having to be a single father at one point, going from being homeless to living in a room to being homeless again to having everybody in a one-bedroom apartment, you're dealing with a lot of stuff. And the government is really – I never got any government assistance, really, but the government is set up to have us torn apart. So if I was with a spouse, or if I was with a girlfriend or whatever, the children and the girlfriend or the children and the spouse, they would be taken care of. But I, as the husband, I would be denied access to certain things. They've started to increase that in certain places in the country, or to rather not increase it, but to make it better. However, it's still very, very high likelihood that most places are not going to accept you if you are a father. Even in the shelter situation, when they have family shelters, 99% of family shelters are going to be shelters where we're not going to put the father in there. The mother can be in there with the children. The father needs to find a place for himself. And you as a father, you go to these places, and these are not places that help you to have good mental health even, So when we're dealing, so for example, when I went, there's a place in Washington, D.C., there's a few places, but I only was in a couple places if I didn't just sleep outside because conditions were usually pretty bad. But there's two places that I was in personally. One place called Adams Shelter, which is in Adams Place. It's like something led by Catholic Charities. And then there's another place called New York. Basically, we would call it the New York Shelter. I don't know if that's the official title or not, but it was on New York Avenue, Washington, D.C. And in New York Avenue, you go in there, and also sometimes in the Adams Place. Adams Place was normally better because it wasn't a city shelter, or it wasn't owned directly by the city. But in both places, you might try to use the bathroom and be afraid, because if you go in there, you should always wear shower shoes when you're going in any kind of public, shower type thing, or community shower. But when you're going in these showers, there might be urine or different things on the place. If you're going to use the toilet, you might find stuff all over the place. If you're trying to sleep, they have everybody in very close and cramped quarters, which even way before coronavirus, you'd be afraid because people are coughing. You don't know what people have. You don't know what illnesses people have. And so people are coughing each other all night long. So you had a lot of people who would rather sleep in tents like that. So your mental health puts you in a place to where now I've got to look, I've got to search for the street. You know, I've got to search for, you know, I've got to search for a specific place outside of these places. And now I've got to try to have the mental health and mental standards and things to be able to deal with that where it is, you know. So I've got to now, excuse me for that, in the background. So now I've got to get to a place of where I'm looking for any place I can, anything I can to get me away from that environment too. And sometimes I might not be able to escape physically. Maybe I'm not mentally strong enough. Maybe I, you know, like many fathers, what happens, like you were talking about, you just lose your job. You know, a lot of people will assume, like I used to, by the way, I used to assume as a child and as a young adult, never really had too many issues either finding, you know, employment or different things. And so all of a sudden I can't find employment. I'm in the middle of Virginia. Really, I started in Illinois. Can't find anything. I come back to the Virginia area where my family is. I don't want to be a burden on them. So I say, okay, I'll try the shelter thing out and try to do the street. And I just ended up not being able to get a job. And so until I can get employment again, you end up on the street. And so my family, you know, my children suffer, and I'm looking at them. I'm like, I'm not providing. They're barely eating. I mean, I'm making sure they eat before I do, but they're not eating the way I want them to. I can't really afford healthy food. And so you kind of go down a deep, dark spiral if you're not careful, where, you know, especially if you don't have people that are supporting you. Maybe you don't have a mosque or a church or a temple or whatever, you know, people that help you out spiritually, or if you don't have access to psychology, if you're by yourself single, like I was, you know, and even if you get with somebody, maybe you're fighting with them constantly because economics being messed up messes up your relationship. So, you know, I could go down many different avenues, and we could obviously of many experiences we have, not only our own, but other experiences of others. But, you know, when you get into this stuff, it's very easy to see, you know, being in that environment and seeing people who were addicted to drugs and things like that. It's very easy to see how escapism, just like people watch sports for escapism, people watch movies and do things, people will go on trips and everything. Well, you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you will, in fact, find it very easy to find yourself addicted, and simply as a way to cope. And unfortunately, once you're addicted and you're on, that can turn into very, very terrible situations that are detrimental to society and to families and to fatherhood.
Right. And I just I want to definitely applaud that. So definitely, you know, want to keep that into play. Great points, great there. But, you know, that addiction part, yes. What you also brought into what we're talking about today, to current, okay? What we are talking about is the once you, let's say you get off the drugs and you are trying to build yourself up. As you are doing that, okay, there's a side effect that comes along with that. No one ever notices this. Okay, all right. The mother, let's say the mother has custody of the children, okay, and the mother's doing or using the resources she has, so she can take care of the children. But you're trying to build yourself up. And that means sometimes it means having no contact with the children and not able to say, okay, daddy is homeless, but daddy's coming back to you slowly. That's just telling the children, I'm doing something, but I love you, but at the same time, the children are not seeing that. They don't see it. The children, all they see is dad is not in the household. And because dad is not in the household, we are not able to see that it has a mental effect on the children. And all they see is dad's not there. And you know, with dad's not being in the household, it becomes a way of, okay, well, daddy really don't love me, and only thing daddy good is for money, or daddy's only good for this, or daddy can buy me a car, instead of saying, saying what everybody has always told you, that the most important thing you can do for your child is give time. I'm going to say that again. The most important thing you can do is to give time to that child or those children. So, you know, I won't say that, and we have to look at those things. And if we don't look at that, we're bound to hurt each other on a broader aspect. In the family dynamic, when it does come together, it's toxic. It is toxic. Okay? And because it's toxic, now, instead of you having to do a regular repair, you got to do a whole overhaul of the whole family dynamic. So that can cause a relapse back into the first part and cause a different kind of effect where you are not in happiness and bliss with the children because of the effect that it caused, even though you're trying to get yourself back on your life and you're trying to be a proper dad and maybe try to rebuild that whole family dynamic in the relationship you have with the mother might come into play. Okay? Now, that part with the rebuilding with the mother, we're going to talk about that on another subject, but right now, we're just going to try to stick to this main plot as best we can. And we're going to get into the part where we talk about overthinking. When you're homeless, your mind is like, it changes. It changes like I ain't never seen nothing changing before. I literally sat for 8 hours and I watched a homeless man stand there, okay, and his mind, you could just see it was racing. It was like, I got 20,000 things to do, but you got no foundation. So what is he thinking about? He's overthinking his situation because, one, he's in survival mode. When they used to say that, and Brother Cooper, you can let me know about African warriors, they were always mapping out the terrain, and when they're in there, their main mission is to be able to, protect their tribe and protect their cells from an attack. So the same aspect can be said with a homeless man. He's mapping out the terrain or the area that he is at and trying to be prepared just in case he is attacked. And what you say, people might say, why do he feel like he's being attacked? What reason does he have to be attacked? Well, let's say he's one of them homeless people that collect cans. Someone might want to steal the cans. Or he's got property or mementos that he does not want anybody to touch. He's sentimental about those things. And when you're in that mindset, you're like, okay, I got to make sure nobody touch my stuff. And I got to make sure to protect it. And it might be the only thing he can protect. And because, you know, like if I said, if the children are not involved, there is an effect there. You know, there is an effect there. There is a great understanding and a great resource for, well, there's a great resource where I feel the person is just like lost. They don't have the children in their life. They don't have the family aspect in life. The only thing they have is those mementos, and they're surviving, and they're trying to think constantly to how to protect it. Now, I talked about Jim earlier as an example. Well, let's say Jim lives in what we call out here in where I'm at, Tent City, in the woods. And let's say someone actually has succeeded in taking your property. Okay? Let's say they're taking your property. And they took your property, and when they took your property and the mementos are gone, you feel like you have nothing. So you fall back, and now you're reintroducing yourself on a constant basis of alcoholism or dependency. Dependency vices. And it can become a very, how can I say this? Well, I'm going to say downward effect, okay? And because it's a downward effect, it's actually become a toxic living situation. You can live in a tent and you know, you're thinking you better, your mind starting to think, okay, maybe I can go to the shelter, stop sleeping in a tent in the woods, and I'm going to get my stuff up, and I'm going to go ahead and go make that move. And then something tragic happens, and now you, what you doing? You got 20, you're bumming out money, finding dimes and nickels or whatever you can do to get yourself beer instead of getting yourself cleaned up. Those are, as I say, cause and effect. So we need to look at these things, because sometimes it's just really like something that is very shocking on many levels. You know what I mean? And now, the national average of fatherhood programs or family with fatherhood programs, as Brother Koopy just mentioned, is, you know, where the children are allowed to be with the mother in the shelter and not with the father. And that aspect is on a high rate. Now, we're going to take a case study out of Philadelphia. A black man that I interacted with in Philly, there is no shelters for really house shelters. They're developing more. It has grown. There is a lot more now. But at the time when I talked to this man, there was no place for him and his children to go. So he was sleeping. And his cause of being homeless is, one, his wife or girlfriend or his baby's mama at the term, she passed away of stage 3 cancer. And he was a DJ. And he was working. He had a nice job. He was able to pay his rent on time. And what's going on is that he has got his car broken one day. Okay? He has had his car broken into. And the car broke into. He's trying to put money to get that, take care of the children, do the DJ work. And when they got broken into, they took everything out of the car. So the point is, the car could not work anymore. So he lost his job. And when he lost his job, he lost his apartment with 3 children that he had to take care of. So he reached out to the people, the government, and his state. They had no place for him to go. But there was one place that opened up, and he got some assistance. But finally, after begging the governor of Pennsylvania, to let him have a place. Now, this got picked up on the news, local news there as well. What I'm saying is this. On a national scale level, there are only a 5% of any, I guess, sub program that helps fathers with the custody of the children. There, it really is not really on a national basis. Now, we have Catholic Charities here, but Kuba, you say you have Catholic Charities there. And Lord, we got Salvation Army in every state. We have all these other, we have Goodwill in every state. And a lot of them have family programs, but they have nothing that covers the aspect of fatherhood. And it has become a damaging situation. You know? So what I want to do is I want everybody to listen up. Donate to the National Saving Fatherhood and go to NSFatherhood.org and donate today. We're doing a $5 campaign. That's $5, okay? If we took $5 and divided by 30, that's basically pennies on a dollar. That's less than it. It's almost like 2 cents a day almost, okay? Only $5. You know, donate $5 a month. And just do that donation, get that charity, do something and give that, make that gift out, you know? Go to the link. We got two links for you. You can go to the program link, and there's a button down there. There's a $5 link right on the main page. And you contribute $5. And every time you support NSF Radio, every time you support the National Saving Fatherhood Foundation and its programs, you are supporting a proper cause for NSF. So I want to say, everybody, you know, we have something going good. Let's make it better. Let's do something positive. Let's pass the applause on to the people. And I'm right there for you. So I want everybody to listen up, okay, and listen up really good. We're trying our best to basically build this up. We have to build a better father, because any man can make a baby, but it takes a good man that wants that to become a true father. And to be a good father, a true father, a father with substance, we must take care of that child, understand the mentality. When a child is born with the genetic coding of the mother and the father, and that's history between both parents. And with that genetic coding there, it's trying to realize, okay, I fit in this aspect, in this point of view. So we, as a people, we as fathers, must be a proper product to and a proper example for our children. And to be that prime person, we have to get into the position. We have to get into the position and the mentality of understanding who we are. And if we're coming from a homeless standpoint, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. You know, I just really want to say that, you know, that it's not a scripted situation. Like a book can say, okay, this is how you get out. Because we all end up in different scenarios for different reasons. And this is why I feel this subject is a complex subject to get into. Now, I'm pulling from my experience because I myself have been homeless 3 times in my life. Okay? Some due to circumstances beyond my control, or some because of my own stupidity or actions. But each time I pull myself up, and there was like a different kind of effect there. So with that being said, we're going to get into a little bit of nothing. I'm going to give another bit of commercial right now.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right. We're going to get into the next part. Hey, well, Cooper, what's going on Cooper's speech this Saturday?
This Saturday, you know what, we're actually going to talk about some things as far as actually kind of going along with what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about some things regarding mental health, and I think it's important to just being honest. I've had some things going on that have challenged me, just, you know, things that I can't really talk too much about as far as because there's family members and stuff involved, but I would definitely, you know, say that I've had some things going on that have made me, you know, get in the place where it's challenging. You know, sometimes we have a lot of things going on. So we just want to talk about some different things and also talk about it from a more holistic perspective. A lot of times we talk about it from the perspective of, you know, of Eurocentric identity, culture, therefore makes us look at certain medicines or certain things that we're doing or maybe certain things that we don't even have to do or we shouldn't even think about doing. So, you know, we'll think about some things that all of us are going into, some simple remedies even for, like, depression or different things, simply as if I've got a brain or chemical imbalance, can I go outside and stand in the sun? If I'm dealing with constant headaches or stuff because I'm not doing things and I'm having to deal with more noise or frustration or things that I'm not used to, you know, maybe I'm used to being a loner, you know, I'm kind of by myself, but now everybody's always packed in with me. What do? You know, can I get out in the sun? Can I put my feet in the grass, you know, and do something that simple? Can I put my hands in the air for 2 minutes and cause my body the opportunity to actually reset itself as far as my brain patterns are concerned? So we're going to talk a lot about things like that, and we hope that you guys tune in this Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. New York time or Eastern time, depending on how you look at time.
Okay. We want to do it. And appreciate that, Brother Koopy. All right. Also, starting next week, let's say you want that music, that jazz, that hip hop, that old school, that funk, the beat bop and new and up, and King Cam is in the house. The Midnight Oil Show is starting. Oh, please tune in, Central. So if you listen in Texas, if you in that dirty South, you in that Central time zone, you need a little bit of that Jones, that hot, that rock pop, that keep it going all day long. You know what I'm saying? Just you want the whole bitty, then you know what? Keep it loud and keep it moving and just keep it up and going. And then listen up because King Cam is in the house. So everybody, tune in. Central Standard Time. 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Every Monday, every Wednesday, it is going to be hot. And, yo, check us out. We got the King Cam show, right? King Cam t-shirts. We got sneakers. And we got Koopy Speaks, clothing line going to be coming up as well. So get your gear, support. Go there, go down to the website. Call in. Get on the show. We might be giving away a couple shirts, a T-shirt here. But get on. We are live right there for you. And we want to just give a shout out to you all and tell you, you know what? We appreciate you. And I want to say that to you. We preach everything you time you give to listen to the show. We are constantly growing. We are constantly moving. We are constantly developing more content. We want you to stay tuned to part three, which is going to be a banger. And I hope what I want to do is really do a 90-minute show next week. And we're going to dig into this finally, get to the nice meat of it all, and do it right. So, I want to appreciate you. So, get on, get into it, and tune in. All right, my name is Brother Alfred. And this is say Brother Koofy. Say goodbye, Brother Koofy.
Goodbye. All right. thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
Open the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio. With your host, Brother Alfred, and co-host, Brother Koofy.
When I call and you may not think that I care for you, well, you know deep down inside.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
Now remember, I may fall down, but I always get back up. Stay tuned. One love and bless. Thank you.